The Power 40 podcast is an uplifting, faith-based podcast that speaks to all that is going on in our world. Our goal is to share inspirational, real-life stories and experiences from notable guests around the country on matters that touch us all. The number 40 symbolizes a period of testing, trial, or probation. We all experience trying times in our lives, but it's what comes from these times that make us who we are. As we depict periods of people's lives, where the idea of the number 40 is played out, we will learn the goodness that comes from perseverance, determination, and belief. I'm your host, Danica Tramberg, joined by co-host Morgan Reed, and we are very excited to welcome Gina Orlando, who is the Wisconsin Area Director for AFSP, or otherwise known as American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So let's just get started. I think, you know, we're talking about Mental Health Awareness this month. What does mental health mean to you?
To me, mental health is something that we all have. It's a part of being a human being. It is something we need to take care of the same way that we take care of our physical health. I actually have a dream that one day we will not call it mental health because you shouldn't separate it from our overall health and well-being.
I think that's so important. And we've talked about that earlier this month too. And we talked about how just as you sprain your ankle and have to sit out of a sport or something to that effect, our brain is just as important and our mental health is just as important to treat it just like any of those other physical things.
Right. I mean, I always say that, like the things we say to people who are struggling with mental health issues, we would never say to somebody who, you know, who is struggling with a broken bone or any other physical ailment. You know, you wouldn't walk up to somebody who just got hit by a car and say, oh, just shake it off, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It takes professional intervention a lot of the time when we hurt ourselves physically or get hurt physically or get diagnosed with a physical illness. And, you know, that's, again, I don't understand why we consider our brain just one of the most vital organs we have to be any different than the rest of us.
What do you think it would take to kind of shift that conversation about mental health, to kind of reshape it in a way that people see it as equivalent to a, you know, a broken arm or a disease that you have, you know, just to kind of shift that mentality?
It takes all of us doing things like this podcast. It takes people who are willing to share their stories, and it takes being somebody who's willing to recognize that we need this change. And it's changing the way that we talk about mental illness. We don't say that people are breast cancer, right? If I was diagnosed with breast cancer, you wouldn't say, oh, Gina is breast cancer. But we say people are depressed, people are bipolar, people are fill in the blank. And so we need to shift the way we think. And in order to do that, we need people to recognize that there's an issue and for people to take it seriously. So more people like you all who are willing to have a discussion about it on a public forum. And then also, you know, taking even what you've learned from talking to people like me and sharing that in your day to day. So, you know, when we hear language that we know needs to shift, finding a way to use that, I hate the phrase teachable moment, but to use that as one of those moments where we can gently change somebody's vernacular. You know, something as simple as saying, I noticed you said that person was bipolar. Do you know that that can be stigmatizing? One of the things I've learned is that we should say, a person has bipolar disorder. Or when you hear somebody say, somebody has committed suicide, we don't commit death. We die by a cause. And so learning and sharing and those are the ways. And I think it's really cool to see that there really has been a shift. you know, some of the other things I do, and I know I can be long-winded sometimes, but this is something I'm really, really passionate about. You know, I don't just work for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I'm an attempt survivor. I live with a mental illness or two. And I have lost loved ones to suicide. So these things are very personal to me. And so all of that to say, sorry, my dog.
You're good.
So all of that to say, you know, it does matter how we talk and the things that we say. And it's been cool to see the shift, but we need more of it. And we need people to continue to just push these ideas forward and recognize that we can make change. I was going to say something else, but I lost my train of thought.
It's interesting that you talk about changing the way we speak about mental illness. I've never even, you know, talked to someone who's informed me about the difference between someone is or someone having a mental illness. I mean, even the way that you phrase that, it seems so clear that that's how it should be discussed. Yet we get programmed to just kind of repeat what we're told by other people. And so, you know, as simple as that, you know, now I'm going to leave this conversation using those terms instead of someone has depression, someone is bipolar, means very different things. And not defining them just by their mental illness. I feel like using the word has kind of gives you the idea that that's something that they deal with, but that's not who they are. They're right. Much more than that. And I think for someone who I have many relatives that have had many mental illnesses ranging from not that severe to very severe. And, you know, a lot of times talking about it, maybe I wasn't even using the right vernacular, but learning to do that might make them more comfortable to talk about it. And I think, as you said, having examples of people that can talk about their struggles and overcome their struggles is a way to lend support to other people that are going through it silently. So I think a couple examples that we've talked about, which have been just happened to be athletes recently, have come out and talked about their mental health struggles. We kind of asked them, like, why do you think these people have come up and talked about it now? Why do you think that this push is finally happening? And what does that mean to you?
Well, I think that one, I've been sharing this a lot lately. Now part of this is opinion and part of it is fact. So I'll start with that. The fact is, we did start to see change before the pandemic. And there's a lot of organizations like ourselves, Mental Health America, NAMI, you know, statewide coalitions. There's a lot of people who are doing this work now more so than ever. Having said that, the pandemic, it created a lot of things, right? Stress for a lot of people. And I think many have experienced mental health challenges over the course of the last 2 years. This part is my opinion. I think that made it okay. I think that made it okay for people to say, I'm struggling because of the pandemic. While many of them actually may have been struggling before the pandemic, but being able to say it in a way that seems like, I don't know, almost like it's okay. It's excusable because of this worldwide issue that we're having, which if that's what it's going to take to get people to come out and talk about it, great. I think the more we hear people talk about it, the more it becomes normal. I think of the things that I hear people talk about all the time. So I'm not going to go into detail, but when I was a kid, as a little girl, there were things I didn't talk about with my friends or, you know, like personal things, right? Mm-hmm. My nieces are all in the open about all their bodily functions and things that to me, I didn't think was okay. Mm-hmm. And that's changed for a lot of these little girls. Well, and people, I shouldn't just say little girls, although I do think that little girls are meant to look in, and be put in this pretty little box and not do things that we don't look at as mm-hmm. girly or whatever. So anyway, it's a shift. It's a shift that has happened right in front of us. And I know that's a weird comparison, but things that were not looked at as acceptable in the past need people, they need pioneering. They need people who are willing to be like, well, it's just normal. These things mm-hmm. that we don't want to talk about or that we think we shouldn't do, they're just normal things that come from being a human. Right. And we're all human. We're all in this together. And when we open up and share and make someone else feel comfortable, that the first time it might be awkward. The second time it's a little less awkward. And down the road, it's like, oh, yep. I've been battling anxiety since I was 13. I've struggled with major depression since I was 21. And it doesn't feel awkward and it doesn't feel scary to say it. It just feels like, these are medical issues that I have. And another thing, I have been trying to change my vernacular in the fact that I'm not struggling anymore. I'm managing, I'm living and thriving with my mental health diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's not gone. And that's, you know, some people do have a time where it's short and it's diagnosed and it's treated and it's over. And some people have lifelong illness. Mm-hmm. I live with depression. I live with anxiety, but I'm not struggling with those things right now. I'm managing them. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing I would like to see more of. Not just talking about how we struggle, but how we can live fulfilling, exciting lives with a diagnosis.
Right. Yeah. Being proud of that fact too, being able to say, I own what's going on with me, but I also am very proud of how far I've come. Like, I think maybe acknowledging the wins that you have and not just acknowledging the struggles is probably something that can be, you know, very inspiring to people that are still in the darker places, knowing people are open and being honest about how they've overcome or are, you know, for the moment overcoming it and being open that it's not, you know, a straight line trajectory. Sometimes you're going to have ups and downs.
And making people feel comfortable, right? Because I think so often they think of these things as a weakness in their lives and maybe a weakness on themselves. And I mean, no one likes to show their, you know, struggles and weaknesses and those things because they want to look like they have it all together. But it's so important, I think, to have that open conversation and make people feel like it's not an abnormal thing. Other people are dealing with it and doing just fine. I mean, I just had this conversation with my mom this weekend. I'm like, we're pretty sure, like, undiagnosed, but I definitely deal with like high functioning anxiety. And I've just, you know, noticed it throughout my whole life since I've been young, like in high school. But, you know, finding ways to manage it and talking about it and being comfortable discussing those things and, you know, just without the fear of someone judging you. And I think that's part of our, you're good. That's part of our, I don't know, what's something that everyone can do, right? Like, we can all step back, listen, and help other people feel okay with what they're going through.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we do with most other things, especially other, you know, challenges that we face in our life. We help others when we notice that they might need help. We talk to them about the things that are going on in their life. If we find out that they, you know, whether it's good news, bad news, that's what support is. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you mentioned like people wanting things to look like everything's hunky-dory. Like, we all know that we're all struggling. We all know that, you know, what we see on social is not necessarily just a complete reality it's reality in that moment. And maybe not even that. I'm the first person to say, like, I need to take a picture of something so I clear all the clutter out of my table to make it look like I have, you know, but we are all human beings and we all have things that we struggle with, things that we overcome, things that we celebrate, and all of that. You know, we shouldn't hide away these parts of ourselves that we think are not something to celebrate. Another thing I want to mention, because I think it's really important when we think about mental health, we think about, you know, there's a lot of things that are risk factors for mental illnesses. And you know, whether that's a family history, we talk a lot about family history, right? And that's important. But one of the things I think are important too is recognizing like that a lot of our environment contributes to the overall, you know, our risk of developing a mental illness. Things like not having enough food and not having enough money and not having secure shelter. Those are all things that can contribute to poor mental health. And so recognizing that as humans, we can help each other in other ways, not just, I mean, I want to see more people talking about mental illness and mental health overall and what we can do to change the stigma. But some of that too comes from helping people overcome challenges that may be detrimental to their overall mental health and well-being overall. So, recognizing that there's so much to it. There's so many layers and we tend to focus on only the surface. You know, we have to look deeper. We have to see, you know, there's more ways. There's so many ways we can help people. And I could talk about that forever, but I just wanted to mention that because I think it's really important.
For someone who might have just come to the realization that it's more than, them feeling nervous about something if they have anxiety, or it's more than a temporary sadness, what are kind of the first steps for helping someone who is just kind of realizing that they've got a little bit more than they can handle?
I think, there's a couple of things. For the person who is struggling, the first thing I will tell people is if you have a sadness or anxiety that has lasted longer than 2 weeks, that's a medical issue. It's time to talk to somebody. If you are the friend, a loved one, coworker of somebody who you notice has been showing symptoms of sadness or anxiety for more than 2 weeks. There's a lot of times where there's overt things where you should reach out right away. But if you're wondering, like, I'm concerned, I've noticed these things. You know, Danica's been late for work 3 times in the last 2 weeks and she's never late for work. That's when it's time to say in a private and safe space, or a text, you know, it's okay to do it via text or phone call as long as you do it the right way, but just let them know you noticed it. Mm-hmm. I noticed you have been late for work the last few weeks and that's really out of character for you. I'm concerned about you. Can you tell me what's going on? That's one thing. If you're not sure what to say, I mean, there's so many resources available. If only people knew they were there, right? So AFSP has what we call our Real Convo Guides, and they can be found at afsp.org/realconvo, RealConvo. And they're literally guides that walk you through different scenarios of how to talk to somebody if you're concerned about them and then what to do. So it's ask them, talk to them, ask them what's going on. And then if they do tell you that they're experiencing some type of mental health concern, encourage them to get help. Do a little research beforehand so that you can say, well, I found, you know, this mental health resource or this clinic or this therapist who has, you know, free services or whatever it is you think they might need. People can also, a lot of people don't realize that you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline or text the crisis text line, even if you're not in crisis. If you're just want to help somebody and you don't know what to say, or you don't know what resources are available, you can call those crisis services and they can get that information to you so that when you have the conversation with the person, you're ready and prepared with some resources. The last thing I'll say about that is to really know that it's okay to ask somebody if they're thinking about suicide. There's a very long-standing myth that if you ask somebody if they're thinking about suicide, that you'll somehow put the thought in their head if they're not thinking about it. And research has shown that the opposite is true. If somebody is considering suicide, especially if they're feeling like they would be judged or ridiculed or like it's, you know, a sin or a lot of those things, and they're not sharing it with anybody, asking them can actually be a relief to them that somebody, one, has noticed that they're going through something, and two, it gives them the opportunity to share what they're going through. And there's always a good chance that they're not considering suicide, but asking them that question can actually save their life. And it should be done in a serious way, without judgment, without, you know, we might think we're doing a service by saying, oh, you're not thinking of doing anything silly, are you? Mm-hmm. But suicide isn't silly. Killing yourself or thinking about it or being in unbearable pain isn't silly. So don't say anything, because that's going to shut them down. Be open and ask them open-ended questions and ask them very directly. And then let them talk to you. That's all we can do. And it's, that made me feel so much better. And I shouldn't say all we can do. It's what we can do. And being there for somebody and talking to them and just letting them know that you're a safe person for them to talk to, it really can make all the difference. But you also have to take care of yourself. And when we're worried about our friends or our family or, you know, a coworker who maybe isn't our bestie or anything, it can weigh heavy on us. So sharing, you know, what you can with somebody to help lift the burden from you, it takes all of us. We can all be there for each other, and none of us should take it on ourselves.
I think that's so important, just being like present in people's lives, and with everyone's busy schedules and hustle bustle lifestyles, that can be so hard sometimes. So just to sit back and remember that you just need to be aware of other people and what they're going through, and just take time to say something when you do notice something. And you have so many valuable resources that I could talk to you forever, and just want you to share everything that you know. But as we do just kind of round out our conversation, my last question that is always so interesting to see what people say: if you had just 40 minutes to impact the world, where would you start and what would you say?
Oh my God, 40 minutes. Well, I could say a lot in 40 minutes. Where would I start? I think I would start wherever I was. Wherever that was. I mean, it's all about meeting people where you are. And I think what I would share is what I just shared with you. We can, one, as humans, we can change the way people think about mental health. We can change the way people think about suicide. We can change the way people treat each other. And we can start with ourselves, right? So recognizing who we are and what are our downfalls. I love what Morgan said about she's going to walk away from this and use the what she learned. And that's what I would talk about. Because I think if you can just be human with each other and really accept that, then I would take that 40 minutes to really share who I am, how far I've come, and how I know that even though we can't see all the lives we've changed, just the fact that being on a podcast like this tells me that the world is changing, that the stigma is, while still very strong, it is coming down. Because 20 years ago, I wouldn't be here talking about this.
It's so important. Well, we really, really appreciate you just being vulnerable and sharing your mental health journey with us today, and and sharing all those resources too. So if anyone's listening to this and is in need of those, can find them. And we just really appreciate all your time.
Well, thank you. I'm really grateful just for people like you who are willing to let me share my story and the resources available. And I know you said this is broadcast all around the country, and I just want to mention that there is AFSP chapters in every country in the United States, and most recently Puerto Rico, which is really exciting. And you can find resources and connect with your local chapter at afsp.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was so nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you too. I hope you both have an awesome day.
Thank you too. For more information on the Power of 40 podcast, visit powerofhumans.com. Also stream the podcast on your preferred streaming service.